Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show comes to you live every day from sunny Southern California. What's that? A lot of whining coming from San Francisco for strike three. Man, the check swing heard round the world. Welcome in. Weird story in D.C. about the Washington football team. We'll get to that. John Middlecoff is our guest in 20 minutes. We'll ask him about the timeless, ageless Tom Brady. The backdoor cover, a little Princeton backdoor cover, right? Late with a two-point conversion. And then Zach Ertz was traded. By the way, Zach Ertz traded to Arizona. Arizona never throws to the tight end. That's a weird one to acquire him. But still, he's gone. We'll talk about how he left the place. Well, let's start with the Dodgers advancing. Ramos, congratulations. Jace Duke, congratulations. The Hall of Famer, Kenley Jansen, came in for his inning, but not as a closer. Jay, how did you like how they used Kenley Jansen last night?
I was nervous, but he did the job. I mean, I thought they could bring him out for the ninth. I thought he had enough in him. I mean, he is a Hall of Famer, but he got the win last night, and Scherzer got the job done.
He's quite obviously not a Hall of Famer, right? I mean, that's Ramos, how was it watching for you?
It was very tense, and I literally watched it from the first pitch to the end, and I didn't move from my seat. One time I was on
not
the...
Not once?
No.
You never
no.
went to the bathroom?
Nope. I went before the game started. Yeah, just like I would if I went to an actual Dodger game. I would go to the bathroom before the game, and then I'd sit in my seat for the game. Nothing changes for me.
Byer, where did you watch
Byer's
the game?
Byer's off today.
Oh, I'm sorry. Isaac, where did you watch the game?
Sorry, I missed the John Ramos restroom habits listing on the... Daily rundown here. Well, I mentioned, we're cord cutters, and I found out what was going on because Jason texted me while I was already asleep, and I found out when I woke up this morning. And I realized the reason is because I'm a big scaredy cat when it comes to being a fan. I was following it in the late innings on Twitter. I saw that they were tied at one going into the ninth inning, and I was just so nervous that I didn't even want to follow it on Twitter. So I realized it's just because I'm a big sports fraidy cat. How's that for a hot take?
It's a take. I don't know how hot it is, but it's definitely a take. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so the check swing. Okay. And here's the thing. Lots of baseball fans like to act like they know. When I heard the groans from Ron Darling on TBS, when I heard the groan from Brian Anderson on TBS, I mean, I'm like, look, in the sport, that's generally not called a strike, right? It's not a call to swing. But does anybody not think that he was gonna swing and kind of have, like, in the spirit of the law, like, he offered at the pitch. I mean, his hands came halfway forward. One of the things he tried to do was he went forward and they went back really quick, right? It's like the kid who gets caught with their hand in the cookie jar and you walk into the kitchen and they pull their hand out real quick. You're like, what are you doing there? Like, nothing. I thought that's what happened in the check swing. This is Gabe Kapler, manager of the Giants, on the check swing.
You have not been one to talk much about umpire decisions, but that final check swing call seemed as if it really angered a lot of people. What were your thoughts on that, and how'd you see it?
Super tough. I mean, obviously, you don't want a game to end that way. I know these guys work really hard to make the right call, so it's super challenging on our end. Obviously, it's going to be frustrating to have a game in like that, but pretty high-quality hitter at the plate that can climb back into that count. It's no guarantee of success at the end of the at-bat. It's just a tough way to end it. There's no, for especially right now, there's no need to be angry about that. I just think it's just a disappointing way to end. There are other reasons we didn't win today's baseball game. So that was just the last call of the game, and yeah, that's enough.
Okay, so What do you think there, Jason Stewart? As a Dodger fan, as a complete and utter homer, what do you think about strike three that ended the series?
Oh, I think it was a bad call. I thought the Giants got robbed on that call, but that's baseball, as you like to put it. And I will say this, and I didn't hear it come up last night. You know why baseball players use black bats at night games is to confuse the umpires. In other words, they're trying to confuse the umpires. Like, if I did swing, maybe he won't see it because I have a black bat. It worked it worked against the Giants last night. The umpire made a call. He was using a black bat, and it was the wrong call, but we'll take it.
You thought it was the wrong call?
Yeah. I mean, I understand your point about what he wanted to do. But by the rule,
have you actually read the rule?
My interpretation has always been if your wrists come across the strike zone, it's a swing, and his wrist just kind of stayed back the entire time. So that's always been my interpretation. I don't know what the verbatim rule is.
Do you know what? Ramos, do you know the rule?
My intention, or my observation of the rule, has always been intent. If you intend, it looks like you have an intent to swing, it's you're going after the ball. And to me, it's a 50-50 call. That I've seen enough baseball games to tell you that call could go either way. It wasn't as not a swing as many people say it was. You know, oh, he didn't go for it. Was his bat on his shoulder? No. Was he intending to swing? Possibly.
Yes.
People act like he just stood there and watched the ball, and they go, what do you think at first? Oh, he swung. Like, that's not what happened. What are we doing? My list could go on forever and ever about this series. We don't have enough time to talk about it on this show. But, yes, intent is what the rule says, and that, to me, is what he intended to swing. He didn't, but he intended to. So you want to cry about a check swing? How about the fact that the game one winner in this series is supposed to win 72% of the time? How about the game, and all these stats are thrown at our face every game. How about the game three winner, 75% chance to win this series? How about you have two more games to win one game? How about one of those games are at home? How about all of those? Ah, but it's a check swing. That's what lost the series. Give me a break.
Well, I don't think anybody said they, no one, I mean, let's just take Gabe Kapler's word for it. He's not saying that.
No. The Giants aren't saying they're actually really good about it. It's the fans that blow my mind.
Yeah, we can't worry about fans.
Well, sometimes baseball. You do, especially when the entire season they've been all over the Dodgers for like, ha, 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 ha. It's like, sorry when it comes back into your face for a little bit. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, they don't deserve it. That's not the way to lose a series. No, it's not a way. Unfortunately, I saw somebody tweet you last night that said, if he went, even if he did go, if he didn't go, you shouldn't end the game like that. Really? If a guy goes for a swing and it's a check swing and it's a strike, sorry, guys, that's not the way we should end this series. You get another chance at this. Come on, man. What do we just throw out all rules of baseball because one game it doesn't go? It's just, I've loved baseball my entire life. I follow baseball. It's my number one sport. Everything gets thrown out of the window. Somebody said, man, this game should have went seven games. But it doesn't. It's a five-game series. What do we want to change every rule of the sport because everything doesn't go your way or that way? I mean, why don't we have the first two teams have a bye week, the wild card winner? Why don't we just do everything different?
Okay, I'm
sorry. I'm off.
The John Ramos show is brought to you by
my bad. I'm
Las
sorry,
Vegas.
Doug. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Just,
you're fired up. You're fired up, Isaac. Give me your thoughts on the call since you didn't watch the game, but you do know baseball and sports.
Oh, I watched it two dozen times. I watched the replay of the check swing on Twitter when I woke up this morning. I mean, it was clearly an incorrect call. I think there are two definitions of bad calls. One is a bang-bang judgment call. The umpire or referee, if it's football or basketball, gets it wrong. The other are what I will classify as the Angel Hernandez calls, if you know what I mean. If you follow baseball on social media, it's literally a game-by-game thing when he's, I hate to single one guy out, but behind the plate. So when the referee or official gets a bang-bang play wrong and is contrite, that's one thing. But if it's kind of one of those other judgment calls, like the pass interference penalty in the Saints-Rams game a couple years ago for the NFC Championship that was particularly egregious, those are a little hard to live with. But the litmus test, as far as our resident Dodger Blue fans is, the litmus test is if this was all reversed and it went against the Dodgers and for the Giants last night, would you guys be feeling the same way? Oh, that's baseball. Would you be feeling the same way today? Be honest.
I would, because I've seen enough baseball games to know that that happens.
Okay. You're a better man than me, then.
I mean, you know, if you turn on baseball for one day and that's what you see, then I guess. But I've seen enough baseball in my entire life to know that calls go against you and calls go for you. And I don't
that's
know.
That's baseball.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I said. That's baseball.
I don't know
that's
what
sports.
To say, man.
And it's like one of those things where there actually isn't, hey, just so you know, there isn't actually a defining rule. I'm actually looking at Major League Baseball's rules. This is how boring I am. Last night I was looking at it as well, and I couldn't find, you know, the rules on it. It's basically you have to, do you offer at the baseball?
It's a judgment call is what I mean. In the last 5 minutes you guys have been talking, there is no definition. It's just, it's a judgment call. And that whole break the wrist thing that I had said, that's not a thing. I always thought it was, you have to break the wrist.
No, that's what people thought. That's what people thought in Little League, right? They're like, oh, we broke his wrist, so he went.
Memo to somebody listening from Major League Baseball, maybe in the future you might want to put in a definition of what exactly is a swing in the rule book going forward. I'm just saying. It's kind of a basic concept for the game.
It was an 0-2 pitch. It was a slider. He was fooled. He went for it, and then at the last second tried to pull it back. And the question was it too late? But he absolutely went into a swing. You know? He loaded and went into a swing, and, you know, right about mid-swing, he did the pull it back. Again, I understand what we're reacting to. This is a lot like if you call a travel in a big spot in the NBA, right? And what people always say is like, that's not a nobody calls a travel in the NBA. Like, they do. The problem is how it's normally officiated. They let things slide, and then when they don't, you're like, well, why didn't you let this other one slide? You know, it is purely a judgment call. I would assume Scherzer was going to get him anyway. But again, that's a way too big an assumption to make. I thought he went after the ball. I thought it was a strike. I haven't watched enough baseball. I do trust that baseball people say unequivocally, that's generally not how it's called. But since there isn't a rule in the rule book that says this exactly is what a strike is, and it's basically you offer at the ball, I thought he offered at the ball.
Hey, Doug, does this remind you as sort of an equivalent of, wasn't there in the Final Four 2 years ago, that game between Auburn and Virginia, wasn't there like a missed double dribble call in the Final Four on one of those final plays, I think in the national semifinal between Auburn and Virginia? Was that kind of a similar controversy to this, do you think?
Yes. 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 There are things that are let go all the time, that when you really kind of get down to it. Yes, the Virginia, who was that in Virginia?
Virginia and Auburn, I want to say.
Yeah, Virginia Auburn last shot of the game, right, where he ran under him. The Auburn player ran under the Virginia player, and they won on the free throws. Yeah, that's a perfect example. You have to give a guy space to come down, and that's a perfect example. And look, the NBA is changed this, you know, in terms of protecting the shooter this year, where you can't jump into people. But now they've changed the wording of that rule and how it's used. But again, that doesn't mean it'll be consistent. It really is. I mean, like, look, this is baseball. It does come down to one pitch. All it takes is one little snare off the edge of the bat, the next pitch, to completely change that game, especially with the runner at first base. Who knows what would have happened? And it does, on many levels, take away from how interesting that game was last night, the gamesmanship, the decisions that Dave Roberts made, and how many of them actually worked out. All of those things are fascinating. But I stand by the fact that no one actually has said, like, he's not offering at the... It's that, based upon how it's usually officiated or adjudicated, that's usually not called a strike. All right, there's... That is absolutely open for interpretation. Bake, by the way, has your back there. John Ramos.
I saw that.
coming up next, why would you apologize for something, but we don't actually know what that something is? I'll tell you next on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Washington football team is going to retire the late Sean Taylor's jersey this weekend. Only the third player in franchise history to receive such an honor. The team announced Thursday that the road leading to the stadium will be renamed Sean Taylor Road. Jason Wright is the new president of the Washington football team. Quote, "We thought saving the news for a game week reveal was the best way to focus on Sean and his legacy. We didn't realize that so many wanted to make a trip to FedEx Field to be president at the moment. The true lack of understanding of what the lifeblood of this franchise needed to mourn our collective loss and celebrate Sean's legacy. As a guy who really wanted to start honoring players better and differently in line with in line with what they paid in blood, sweat, and tears, I'm angry and sad that we messed up your opportunity to honor Sean this weekend. I feel a pit in my stomach not knowing knowing how we let so many of you down." So here's basically the premise. Washington football team under investigation. Emails dropped, obviously, last week and then into Monday as well. And then shortly thereafter, like, oh, hey, we're honoring Sean Taylor Sunday. It was like yesterday they announced it. And so most people think this is the classic, like, look over here. Don't pay attention to the mess there. And obviously, this is not a really strong attempt at it, but that's what they're actually doing. I mean, look, I don't buy his excuse at all. At all. And it's never the cover-up. It's never the crime. It's always the cover-up, right? The cover-up's worse than the crime. But you're almost better off to not comment. Like, hey, we just want to honor Sean Taylor's legacy. We've been waiting for a long time. Like, there's no reason you wouldn't have announced it. It makes zero sense. Because, yes, you want to honor the legacy of Sean Taylor. First of all, that should include bringing his entire family, and anybody who's related to him should be there at the game, on the field, honor him, right? And you can't do that on a Thursday. And, oh, yeah, by the way, your football team's not that good. This is a way, a drawing card of getting people's attention. Oh, we only want to wait till a game week. You didn't do it Monday. You didn't do it Monday. Like, all you have to say is, hey, we screwed up. We've been waiting to do this, and we waited too long, and then all the news has been bad, and we just want to give people some good news. Like, that would have been at least reasonable, but all we're trying to do was make game week about game week. And it was about game week. And there's nothing really sinister about honoring Sean Taylor. It's more the feeling people get that you're covering something else up. John Middlecoff's our guest, 3 and Out's the podcast. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. I don't know what's worse, the fact that Washington threw out this, hey, we'll honor Sean Taylor, or then their explanation, which is, you know, we wanted to save it till game week. You know, we wanted to save it. Like, what a clown. Just tell us, hey, there's been a lot of bad news. We're not very good. We figured this might cheer somebody up. That's the best we could do. And we probably screwed up. Why try and lie to us and say they were trying to protect game week or something?
Well, and I think on this one, too, it's a pretty basic one that every fan of football, basketball, or baseball, right, knows the team they follow when they do something like this. You know, Eli's Day this year. You know, it happens in baseball a lot. I know the San Francisco Giants have been doing it for years. These teams, when they do that, they do it way in advance, right? It's a really big deal because it's a big ticket seller. You know, it's a promotional activity to celebrate an individual or a team or whatever. To me, let's just call a spade, they completely pulled it out of their you-know-what a couple days ago. Right, they can say whatever they want, but the Eagles, I think, last night put Trey Thomas maybe in their Ring of Honor. There was no doubt about it that every season ticket holder and every Eagles fan knew about this for a minimum months. So it's a lie. I mean, let's just call it what it is.
Yeah. All right, let's get to last night. I mean, have we now convinced the jury that Jalen Hurts is not a starting quarterback long term in the NFL?
Well, I think he started off strong against the Falcons. So, you know, as someone who was, I guess I would be considered a hater, a non-believer is probably a better way to say it. I was like, you know, I'm going to give this guy a chance. But the last several weeks, his arm is not strong enough, and they have deep threats. I mean, that's, you know, their speed on the outside is legit. He cannot throw the go route. His timing is off. And it's like, okay, you know, there's been six, you know, Drew Brees, Alex Smith couldn't do that either. But can he hit, like, the basic out route, you know, a deeper out, deeper in? He's just not very good at those throws. And those, to me, are you have to be able to sustain that relatively consistently to be a solid NFL player, let alone a good one. I just don't think he throws the ball well enough. From people that I know there, I think his character, his work ethic, his toughness, they want to like him. People that are around him want to like him. And I think he has moments. As you saw last night, like, he doesn't fold. He keeps fighting. But he just has, you know – you play basketball at a really high level. You get to a point where your flaws, you know, every single level, eventually, unless you're just a great pro, just kind of get exposed. And his are really getting exposed with every game that goes on.
I tried to explain to people. It's also the fact that he's constantly looking to kind of move around and run. And they got when he was at Oklahoma about midseason, they were like, Let's stop with the progression stuff. You don't see what you want to see, just run it. And they had a lot of designed runs. And it's kind of the same thing where it's like, there's nothing wrong with him as a guy or as a leader. He's just not good enough. And it's a hard job. Like there's like 25 Kyler. Guys on earth that can do it. He's not one of the 25.
Exactly. Kyler's him, but his physical attributes, his arm strength is much superior. He's a much more accurate player. He's a much more dynamic runner. He's just the good NFL version of Jalen Hurts. And I think Oklahoma, you saw that, right? It went from, Jalen to Kyler, I think, or whatever, vice versa. And it was
Kyler to Jalen. It went from Baker to Kyler to Jalen.
To Jalen, yeah. Right? And it was a huge drop off from Kyler to Jalen.
Massive. And look at the difference in Tua, you know, and even Mac Jones at Alabama and Jalen.
What I think Jalen is, at the end of the day, he's probably just a really good backup. Like, he's a guy, he's an NFL player. Yeah. He can stay in the league for a while. And, you know, depending on how their season goes, he probably won't even start most of the – would you be shocked if Gardner Minshew makes some starts this year for the Eagles?
No.
I mean, why wouldn't you just give it a try? Give it a look. He's cheap. They're both cheap, you know? It's not. And the good thing for the Eagles is – they had to pivot off Wentz. Like, it was clear it was over. And they did. And they had this guy as, you know, a second-round pick. And so they said, let's try it out. But you're not tied to that. I mean, we see second-round picks get traded or cut all the time a couple years in. And that's not going to happen. He's not going anywhere necessarily. But he's just probably not going to be the starter for much longer.
Yeah, I'm completely, completely with you. It's the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Bad beat in the backdoor cover, but otherwise, what's your assessment of the Buccaneers?
Yeah, I mean, by about a little after halftime, I was more locked into the baseball game because that game was like the Eagles don't. I mean, the Buccaneers are just on a completely different level. It really is. Like, we talk about it all the time, but at 44 years old, I mean, he's headed to throw for like 50 touchdowns. And they're clearly, you know, Antonio Brown, listen, he may be a head case or whatever, but around Brady, talent. He's pretty locked and loaded. He's balling right now. And then we know the other two wide receivers are sweet. And then, you know, playoff Lenny, you got to give them credit. They are, you know, should he have been a top five pick? Looking back, probably not. But he's definitely a good NFL player, and they got him on the straight and narrow. Their talent on offense is just immense. Now, they have some flaws in their defensive backfield because they're all injured. But when you're that good up front, you just a team can't run it against you. And then, you know, you're just going to get some pressure. So, and they're going to score so much that they ain't going anywhere. Now, eventually, you got to hope to get some guys back. But they got time. And, I mean, it's remarkable. It truly is. I know we beat a dead horse here, but what Tom's doing. Like, I remember, I think, my second year in Philly, it's like 2011. It was kind of the end of the Welker, Randy Moss run, and they came to play us, and they kicked our butt. I mean, they were still really good, obviously. And that it was felt like he was an older quarterback. That was like a decade ago. I mean, he's bettered out.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I want to let's go to the baseball game since you take us there. We'll get to Gruden and some of that stuff in a second. I know you're a NorCal guy. I know that people hate the Dodgers. I understand how it's normally called, but he did offer it the baseball, right? Like we're arguing letter of the law more than spirit of the law.
It has to get past the, but it's only a strike.
No, there's no rule. There's no written rule of where it has to get passed. That does not exist.
Well, that's the way it's called.
I know how it's called, but you got to offer it a baseball. It is very much a judgment call. So do you think he offered it the baseball?
I guess what you're saying, yes, but the way it is called 24/7, 365 every day in Major League Baseball, that would not be a strike. But again, like the Giants probably aren't winning that game. Like they said when he came up, those guys faced each other forever, right? Because they were in the NL East. He owned Wilmer Flores. Like the Giants probably lose him. I just think that in this day and age, and listen, I understand it is a really hard job to be an NBA and NFL referee. It's a hard job to be an umpire. But I think we have, with the amount of money that's on the line, coaches lose their job, players lose their job, we're all gambling on these games. There is no repercussion for any of these guys. I mean, they're screwing up calls left and right in all these sports we watch. And it's just like, okay, it's just human element. And I get it. There is a human element to sports, to life. But it is getting to the point with the amount of cash that's on the line and then the amount of, you know, everyone else is held accountable, right? If a player doesn't get it done, if a coach doesn't get it done. Yet these guys, just no big deal. Just that guy's probably be in the NLCS calling games, right? It's just he'll be behind the plate. And I just think it's getting a little out of hand in all these sports. I don't know how you fix it, but – and I don't want to sit there and like, it's not reviewable. Like, I don't want to sit and review. It's just it's a crappy way for a historic. I mean, it's the first time they ever played in the playoffs, and the series lived up to the hype. I mean, that game was incredible. If you don't, I understand if you don't like baseball, it's a little slow. But if you can't like the pressure of a playoff baseball game, an elimination game, every pitch matters, every runner matters, every base matters, and then for the game to end like that, just leaves a sour taste in your mouth.
Agree with you. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What's your reaction to the Gruden story?
I mean, from a Raider standpoint, they got a lifeline. They got out of something that was not going well. I mean, it was just simply not going well. He had just too much power, and he wasn't good at picking players. So he was a solid offensive coach. But, you know, clearly once that comes out in 2021, he was done. I mean – I think 100% he had to go. But I think Mark Davis, now you could argue, and I don't think it's pretty clear, the league would do anything, and I mean anything, to remove Mark Davis and have a big boy owner in the Vegas market, given, you know, the gambling and just the upside of that market alone and the franchise. So I understand, because I thought it was a little cowardly. How many owners in the NFL – if that would have happened to them, would not have spoke. And I tweeted this out. I've known the guy for a while. I do think, listen, I understand Derek's a polarizing player at times, but what that guy has been through and the chaos and the controversies that he has had nothing to do with in 8 years and he has to answer for it, like that just doesn't happen in most organizations. Yet he always has to carry the Raiders organization when you know what hits the fan, and it's just so chaotic there. I mean, it was just – that story was – and listen, I feel bad for the fans. It's not like they signed up for this. But it's just always something with that organization. It does go back, let's face it, to the family that owns it. And the league will do – and I don't – it's hard to – you can theorize who leaked these emails. I don't know. Like, I could understand – because I heard someone say – and then you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Roger Goodell's brother, you know, is gay. So, you know, could he have had it out for John Gruden for years? Who knows? I don't know, Roger. But like, I just think the Raiders, it's just always something with them. And if I was Derek, especially this season, who knows? I mean, it could get derailed now. I would try to get the hell out of there.
The Herbert thing has become a thing, right? It was like, I thought last year it was, holy crap, he's way better than we thought. Now it's like, oh man, he might be the real deal. Big weekend, although Baltimore's not the same defensively. We saw kind of peak Lamar in the second half. balancing the fact that Lamar was bad in the first half, and that's not a good team.
Yeah,
in the Colts.
Colts will bring it. Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with Justin Herbert. Is this what you expected? Does he continue to exceed? Like, what are you seeing when you break down the tape?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would have been, like most people, just let's just hold our horses a little bit. It was clear his physical talents were immense. But, you know, crowds and the intensity, and now there's pressure. He's been remarkable. I mean, he's been – I wasn't really in my football watching prime in, like, the late 80s, but that's – I would imagine you throw on Elway, Marino, like, when you hear these guys talk about just all-time talents. Because, like, Peyton – early on was brains more than physical attributes. Like, his greatest physical attribute was just his size, but he didn't have a great arm. Now, he was accurate, but Herbert is, I mean, you know a little better than me. It feels like a younger Elway, the way he can move and the arm strength and the size. And then you factor in, I think they're what I've kind of lumped them into the core four, and it's Josh Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, and Lamar. And knowing people around all four of them, I think the one thing they all share, and they're all different type players, and they all have obviously elite physical attributes, some a little different than the others, is like when you talk to someone in Baltimore or you talk to someone in Kansas City, or I'm sure you talk to people with the Chargers, the character, the work ethic, and all the intangible stuff is like off the charts. And when you have the physical attributes these guys have and they keep improving, you would just bet the farm on all of them, because they're wired the right way. And clearly Herbert is probably the most unspoken of the group. I guess Lamar is too. He's pretty quiet. But he is just – I mean, he's a remarkable – because forever, like once Peyton and Brady got pretty established, and then like the Rivers and the Flaccos and the Elis, like those guys were all enormous guys, right? They're all 6'5", 6'6". You've been around them. I mean, they're huge. They look like NBA players. Well, that's what Herbert looks like. The difference is the guy can run. You know, those guys couldn't move. Ben could move, he was a good athlete, but he wasn't a fast runner. Like, Herbert is an explosive athlete. So, you know, you could argue he's like the perfect modern-day player because he's way bigger than Mahomes.
He's John Elway. He's 2021 John Elway. He comes from an athletic family, right? Like, they weren't quarterbacks, they were athletes. He's big, he's strong, he's smart, he's kind of affable, he can throw. He has a play caller who's really good and fits. They got guys to throw to. They're kind of blocking for him.
The wide receivers are sweet.
Those two guys really good.
Look, I think big picture, they got a question on their hands. Obviously, Keenan's under contract, but I'm pretty sure Mike's a free agent.
He is, yes.
You know, you got to take advantage while you have this guy on a rookie contract, and he is the perfect type wide receiver for him. So, I know it's not going to be cheap, but – I would do everything humanly possible to keep that guy around my star quarterback.
Okay, so now we've seen Trey Lance and Justin Fields a little bit more. Fields won, but a lot of that was the Raiders not showing up and the physicality of Chicago.
Defense, yeah,
and the defense, and Trey Lance is who are you more encouraged by watching those two?
Well, Trey Lance is a bigger, more physical athlete than Fields. Even though I mean, obviously Fields is a fantastic athlete, Fields has gotten out three games under his belt. It's I'm not going to overreact. There were still some flaws with Lance. His arm was, his release was pretty loopy. His touch was a little off. Now, granted, it was his first start. He had not been repping with the ones. He gets thrown in there the week before. It was a tough spot, but he has some things he has to work on. Now, I think also the head coach. Like, Nagy has done a pretty good job of kind of adapting the scheme, figuring out what they needed to do to make it easy on Fields. Kyle kind of dumbed it down, but then they got behind, so they had to throw, and he couldn't consistently make the throws, and he got bailed out a couple times by wide receivers. But they were also playing, I mean, the only undefeated team in the league on the road. It was a tough spot, but now they got the bye week, but I guess, according to Kyle, he's got a sprained knee. Now, he was at the Giants game last night. I do wonder, there's been some theories on the interwebs. The new CBA, you know, it's mandatory during the bye week. The players have to go for 5 days, right? Like Wednesday through Monday, they're off, unless you're injured. So, you know, if he's injured, he can stay around and they can coach him up a little bit during the week. So I could see that, keep him around here. But he's what Trey Lance is a little like Josh Allen several years ago. He is just a massive project. And if you think Kyle Shanahan is a big-time coach, which he's proven to be as an offensive mind, you would bet on the guy developing him and adapting him and improving him. And like I said about the four, the Allens, the Lamars, the Mahomes, the Herberts, one of the big reasons they drafted Lance was because he had elite character and work ethic and all these things off the field. Well, that's how you improve, right? Because you're super dedicated, you're super disciplined, you care about football, and you know, and you work really hard at it. That's the only way to improve. And he's got a long way to go, but so did Josh Allen once upon a time, and he got there. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be Josh Allen one day, because that would be – the Niners would – who knows what they would do for that outcome, right? Any team would take that. But if he can just become a really good, a solid NFL player, they'd be in pretty good shape.
Middlecoff, great stuff, dude. Crazy week, crazy weekend ahead. We can't wait to hear your next podcast. Three Nouns Podcast. He's John Middlecoff. John, thanks so much.
Have a good weekend, Doug. See you.
You too. The most exciting game to watch Sunday will be, I'll tell you next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. That was fun. It's fun catching up with Middlecoff. Let's get to a game with Isaac Lowe.
This is Game Time.
It's Game Time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Isaac, what's the game?
Before we get to today's game, I'm sorry, I have a faulty memory. Can you remind me, yesterday we did the draft game. We drafted who is going to be the hero of the Dodgers-Giants deciding Game 5. Can you remind me which one of us picked Cody Bellinger to be the hero? Because I forgot. Oh, anybody?
John Ramos?
That was obviously a setup. Isaac picked fourth. He had the snake picks, and he picked Bellinger. Well done.
Psychic?
Say no more. And now today we move on to psychic. Psychic, what will be a more exciting NFL game this Sunday? The Baltimore Ravens against the Los Angeles Chargers, or the 5-0 Arizona Cardinals against the Cleveland Browns? And why? Show your work.
Wait, what will be the more exciting? What are the two? Cleveland Browns who?
Browns, Cardinals, or Ravens, Chargers in a matchup of 4-1 teams.
More exciting?
More exciting.
Chargers, Ravens.
All right. Very
and
good.
My logic is this. The Browns are good. I thought it was a fun game, but what makes them really good is that they run the football. They just run the hell out of football. That's not that much fun. Now, you do have two former Oklahoma quarterbacks, and of course, Kyler is fun. Yep. Whereas I think those two teams, and you know, we saw the Chargers in a shootout. I think they're gonna be able to score this weekend. So I don't know. That would be my first thought.
And especially with Nick Chubb being ruled out with a calf injury on the Cleveland side. All right, psychic. Simply, will more emails be coming out?
Yes.
Can't wait. All right, when? There's never a good time, but last night, for example, it dropped at halftime of the Thursday night football game.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it'll periodically leak out. I think there'll be some during Sunday's games. That's probably the next time.
All right.
Sunday night football. Let's go. Let me see. Sunday night football.
They need something to drive up the ratings with that matchup this weekend. All right. Speaking of that, psychic, Sunday night football. The Steelers and the Seahawks. Who will have more passing yards on Sunday night, Ben Roethlisberger or Geno Smith?
Ben Roethlisberger.
All right, let's get one more in the lightning round here. A bonus question, psychic. How much better will Zach Ertz be in fantasy football as a tight end for the Arizona Cardinals, if at all?
I think it'll be worse. You know, that offense doesn't utilize tight ends all that often. I'm gonna say they're gonna be worse.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is Game Time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Amazing amount of stuff to get to today. Coming up next, what we missed, I believe, what we missed on the Jalen Hurts drafting. I'll share with you after you watch him, you sense it. Now you know it. It's next on the Doug Gottlieb Show.